Amen. Well, good morning again, you guys. And Pastor Dave and Ann, if you weren't here last week, they're on vacation and they're going to be finishing up this week. So Lord willing, Pastor Dave will be back in the pulpit next Sunday. And if you hadn't heard, they are celebrating, it's kind of a vacation celebration. Pastor Dave finished up his doctorate at Talbot Theological Seminary, so it's a well-deserved break, and they're excited about that, and I'm sure they're having a great vacation. He gave me this, they're overseas, they're in Europe, and he gave me a cell phone number, kind of one of those burner cells that works on Wi-Fi. He said, you know, here's the number, you can text me or call me if you need me. And I said, well, I hate to tell you, but I won't be using that, so it'll be a quiet vacation for you, but hopefully they'll be back next week. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you know that we're going through the book of Proverbs. And as we've gone through the book of Proverbs, Pastor Dave has grouped together the Proverbs into topical categories. And the idea being that in 1 year, Lord willing, we will have gone through the entire book of Proverbs. So this morning's topic is guidance for life. Guidance for life. And if you brought your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And we are in a familiar verse this morning, or verses this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'll give you a little time to turn there, because I'm still hearing some pages going there. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You know, I think throughout history, men and women have always needed and valued guidance. I think we've always sought direction for our lives, and I think as a result, history will and has placed a huge value on leaders and on leadership. And because when we look at leaders, we understand that leaders provide us with guidance. We understand that leaders know how to lead. Leaders can tell us what direction to go in. And, you know, I think the only problem with leaders as I think about leadership is that good leaders are scarce. They are rare. They're a rare commodity. And so they're very few in number. And I think that knowing how much as Christians that we value leadership and that we value guidance, I think that's probably why Jesus referred to the believers as sheep. Because sheep need a shepherd, sheep need a leader, sheep need guidance and direction in their lives. And it really reminds me of the comment that Peter said. He referred to Jesus as the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. And as Christians, I think we know that Jesus is our shepherd. We recognize that. And we also know that Jesus is our leader, and that when we look to Jesus for guidance, and when we look to Jesus for direction and for his will in our life, we know that we're not going to be disappointed. But the big problem, I think, oftentimes for us is that at times I think that we can forget that Jesus is our shepherd a little bit. And I think when that begins to take place and crisis comes into our lives, I think it can be a little bit overwhelming. And I think it becomes overwhelming because we haven't been necessarily spending the time that we need to spend with the Lord. And so when that begins to take place, I think it's easy to see why the crises become a little bit overwhelming when they come into our lives. And we have a tendency to let these other distractions compete for our time. And those distractions, they tend to win when they're competing for our time. We allow them at times to really monopolize our time, and therefore we're not spending that time with the Lord. And don't get me wrong, during these times, we still love the Lord. We still recognize that he is God. But we're just in a different place. We're at that point where he's definitely taken, you know, a back seat in our life. And not just as Christians, we're not the only ones that value guidance and value direction. Pretty much every person that was ever born desires guidance and direction in their life. And I think that society recognizes this. Society recognizes that there is this guidance vacuum, if you will. And society tries to fill it with what I'll call cheap counterfeits. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we understand as Christians that the only way to fill that guidance vacuum is through that personal relationship with Christ as we seek him and he speaks to us. And, you know, the cheap counterfeits we see all around us, you'll see them, say, at a strip mall. When you drive by, you'll see a tarot card reader that's going to somehow tell you your future through these cards. Or I was up at the Spectrum the other day shopping, and I saw a palm reader, you know, and read your palm, and I'm going to tell you, you know, direction and the future of your life. Or we'll see toy companies that come out with toys like Ouija boards that are there. Back in the day when we used to have newspapers, we saw, and some of you are like, what? I still get a newspaper. The newspapers, right? You turn to the very back, what do you find? You find the horoscopes. And the horoscopes are there to give us, you know, misguided direction. And then, of course, my favorite was what my brother had. I think he was in the sixth grade, and he had this thing called a magic eight ball. And you would shake that magic eight ball up. And I was younger and way more impressionable, and he would let me borrow the magic eight ball. And I would shake that up, and I would ask a question like, does Sally like me? And then all of a sudden, the pat answer that always came up, there was always like two answers, without a doubt. That came up a lot. And then I'd shake it again. Am I going to get a good grade? It is certain. That was the other one that would come up. But then you look at our daytime talk shows, and they're filled with people who want to give us, you know, cheap guidance and direction in our lives. And I was real interested this week. I decided I'm going to Google guidance and direction. I want to look for books. I want to look for articles on guidance and direction. And it came back. Google came back with 256 million references. And that's when I realized there's absolutely no shortage of opinion on the subject. You know, I think probably the biggest problem that we have when we look at guidance is we tend to look at it as a transaction, kind of a one-time deal. In our minds, we'll seek guidance and we'll seek direction, and then we think we're done for the rest of our lives. We think that that's it. Okay, I've sought the Lord. He told me to go here. Now all of a sudden, that's it. Like guidance somehow is a magic pill or a quick fix. We get it once and then we never need it again. But in my experience, guidance and direction, they seem to be more of a process. They seem to be fluid. It always seems to change because life changes, doesn't it? There are times when we'll lose a job, or our mortgage will go up, or our rent will go up, or our investments will go bad. Our health can sometimes fail. Maybe we go through a divorce. Maybe it's time to send children to college. Or maybe we find ourselves being busy grandparents, and so life begins to happen. And I think it's because when we look at life, we have to see life as a journey. And we need to understand that it's a lifelong journey. And in that lifelong journey, changes take place. And if there is one thing we are really not very comfortable with, it's change. But we need to get comfortable with change because part of the process of guidance is there's going to be change. Guidance and direction are definitely not a one-time transaction. It's a process. And I think how we deal with that process really determines the level of faith and the level of trust that we've placed in the Lord. Because it takes a lot of trust as things are changing. And honestly, there's no shortcut in that relationship that we have with the Lord, that relationship that needs to be built up to the point where we can say that we trust. Now let's look at the first part of verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." See, Solomon's telling us to trust. If we want the Lord's guidance, then we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is we need to trust. And, you know, when we place our trust in the Lord, we believe that he's reliable. We believe that he has the ability to handle our situation. Otherwise, you know, we simply wouldn't trust him. Otherwise, there would be no way of trusting him. He would be a stranger to us, and there's no way we're going to trust a stranger. But see, trusting in the Lord says this. It says that, you know what? I know God knows what's best for me. I can't do this on my own. I know that he has my back, and I know at the end of the day, he wants what's best for me. That's what we're telling ourselves. That's what we're believing when we trust. And I think that's the right thing to believe as well. You know, I tend to make this analogy of it, that God has this view from the blimp. You know, each year, I find myself on the couch with Elisa on New Year's Day, and we're watching the Rose Parade. And we're watching Stephanie Edwards and Bob Eubanks. And there they are, high above Colorado Boulevard. And they're looking, the cameras are pointed right down from them. And one by one, we'll see a float come by, or an equestrian unit come by, or a band come by. And Bob and Stephanie have this wonderful way of communicating that only they know how when it comes to these floats. And as we watch that, one of my favorite views of the parade is the view from the blimp. Because when you look at the blimp, that view, you see the beginning of the parade, you see the middle of the parade, you see towards the end of the parade, and then you can see the very end of the parade from the blimp. Bob and Stephanie have the view that's in front of them. And that's how life is at times. We see the view in front of us. We see the one equestrian unit or the one blimp, and that's our view. But see, when the Lord's looking from above, he sees the beginning of the parade, the end of the parade, and all in between. He sees our life. He has a view that we don't have. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, am I willing to give up control? See, our desire to control can get in the way of trust. Trusting means I'm willing to yield control. And I think at times we can all admit that can be difficult because at times we tend to get a little possessive, especially when we have doubt and fear, and sometimes when we're only trusting half-heartedly. And that's probably why Solomon tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, because at times I know that I can do things half-heartedly. I know that I'm fully capable of getting on board, but also doing it begrudgingly. And so that's why I think Solomon's saying, you know, no, we have to do it with our whole heart. And that's probably why Solomon is instructing us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Now let's look at the second part of verse 5. It says, "And lean not on your own understanding." Don't lean on our own intelligence, our own knowledge, our own understanding of the situation. And it's not that we turn our brains off. It just means we're not going to rely just on our own understanding of something because our perspective, it's always limited. It's like the analogy of the blimp. We can't see that view, but God can. And so we need to remind ourselves that God is omniscient, that God knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And if you have a teenager like I do, they'll lead you to believe that they're omniscient. They're not. They'll lead you to believe that. But, you know, that's one of God's attributes, is that he knows everything. And I think our responsibility is to acknowledge that truth in who he is, and to remind ourselves that that is exactly who God is. It should strengthen our faith when we realize that God knows everything and that we don't. And I think maybe sometimes what gets in the way for us in that learning process can be our pride. Our pride, you know, we tend to think at times that we know everything, that we can't be taught. We'll give an answer maybe before somebody even finishes a question, because maybe we're just a little too prideful. And I think at times we can absolutely believe that we've figured it out. And so we have to be willing to put that pride aside. We have to be willing to be taught. And that willingness to be taught comes through a spirit of humility. And when we humble ourselves, that's when we really become teachable. We're willing to be instructed, understanding that we absolutely don't have a corner on knowledge and understanding. We'll make a right-hand turn in your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we're going to be looking for verse 12. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12. And it says this. It says, "A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise." The scoffer is somebody who is full of pride. The scoffer, he's a mocker. He's not interested in learning. He's not interested in being corrected. His pride simply won't allow it because he knows everything. And as a result, at times his judgment can be clouded and he's become unteachable. We'll make a left-hand turn and we'll go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and we're going to be in verse 17. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." The instruction that the Lord gives us leads to life. His teaching, it keeps us on track. It keeps us from doing stuff that we shouldn't do. And I think that's why it's important that we continue to read our Bibles on a regular basis, because God speaks to us through his word. Our faith grows by reading our Bibles. We learn to trust him more by reading our Bibles. And that's why I believe we're being instructed this morning to lean not on our own understanding. We'll keep going left. We'll go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And look at the first part of verse 6. It says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him." In all your ways, acknowledge him. Solomon is instructing us to acknowledge God. And when we acknowledge someone or something, what we're saying is, you know what? We admit that they exist. And so acknowledging God, we're saying that, number one, he's real, and that we understand that it's important to know who he is. It's important to know a little bit about him. And when we begin to discover a little bit about who God is, we begin to understand that he is sovereign and he is the supreme authority for us. And there's nobody greater than God. And he's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. In other words, he has unlimited power. He's able to do anything. And that, again, is one of his attributes. And again, understanding the attributes of who God is should help us trust him more, should allow us to say, you know what, I'm going to acknowledge you in all that I do. And I don't know everything. There's things that I can learn from you, Lord, as I'm seeking direction and I'm seeking guidance. And so to me, it really helps knowing that God is sovereign, that he is omnipotent, he is unlimited power. Now, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Just a short move to your right. And in Proverbs chapter 16, and in verse 33, it says this: the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Casting lots was kind of a method of determining God's will. And prior to Pentecost, it was a method that was used by the Jews and the Christians alike. They were seeking guidance. They were seeking direction from God. And so these lots would be stones or sticks that had certain markings on them. And then they would generally throw them into a small area, like the lap in this particular scripture. And then an interpretation was made based on how they turned up in the lap. And the Lord used this method to speak to them. And on their part, it was an act of devotion and trust in God. It was their way of acknowledging that God knew more than they did, and they were asking him for guidance. And, you know, I think that's also, you know, as Solomon tells us to acknowledge God, he doesn't say acknowledge God in some of our ways. And what he says is we are to acknowledge God in all of our ways. And I think in all of our ways, that at times, you know, it can be difficult at times because it speaks to an ongoing process. It speaks to all of our ways, literally means all of our ways. And so each day we have to acknowledge God. In good times and in bad times, we have to acknowledge God. We can't just turn over part of our life to him and somehow think that this applies to us. He wants our total devotion. He wants to guide us in absolutely every situation. He wants us to stop kind of looking at him as being a cosmic bellhop, or some kind of a heavenly valet that we just call upon when we need something and we don't check back in with him. He doesn't want us to be the rabbit's foot or the good luck charm. And, you know, we've seen that, right? We've all heard statements like, well, we've tried everything else. We might as well pray. Well, things have gotten bad. I better call on the big guy in the sky. You know, we hear that at times, and God's desire really for all of us is that we have a relationship with him, a very personal relationship with him that allows us to go directly to him, that at any time we can talk to him because he is our Heavenly Father. And think of any good relationship you have right now in your life. All good relationships take time. You have to spend time with that person to have a great relationship. It just takes time. It takes sharing on all of our parts to have that relationship, and the relationship with the Lord is no different. And I think that's why it's so important to, in all of our ways, acknowledge him. We'll turn back to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this is the end of verse 6. In verse 5, it told us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge him, God. And then the last part is, and he shall direct your paths. See, when we trust in the Lord and when we don't lean solely on our own understanding, and when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will direct our paths. And that word direct in the original language means he'll make straight our paths. He'll make smooth our paths. He will guide us He'll give us direction. But I think it's important to understand, too, that it doesn't mean that the direction that he sets for us, that there won't be challenges. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a time in our life where things don't go bad. There'll be times when we experience great sorrow. There'll be times when we experience death of those people that we love. But that doesn't mean that we're on the wrong track. It means that he is directing us and that we need to trust him. And here's the great thing, you know, when we read Psalm 23, he's with us during those challenges. He's with us during those difficult times. This world wasn't designed to bring great comfort to us. And as Christians, I think the wonderful advantage we have is that Jesus is walking with us in this journey of life through these difficult times. And that to me, and I'm sure to you as well, should bring you great comfort. You know, when we talk about God giving us direction, I think direction comes in a lot of different forms. You know, I think of the spiritual disciplines. I think that, you know, through our Bible readings, God speaks to us. How many times have you ever been reading scripture and you go, wow, God really spoke to me. I was going through this and this is what I was reading today. And we look at that and it's not a coincidence. It's because that's how God speaks to us at times, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his word. How many times have you been praying and all of a sudden you go, an idea pops into your mind about something that you were praying about, that you were asking God direction for, and it just pops into your mind. That's the Lord speaking to us. Or you're speaking to a friend, somebody who loves the Lord, and they're sharing with you something that they went through, and you go, wow, that's God speaking to me through that person. Or you go to church, and you're hearing a message, and God's speaking to you. That's how the Lord works. And I think there's so many avenues that he speaks to us in when we draw close to him. When we're exercising those spiritual disciplines, he's talking to us. But I also think there's times when we're not in seeking those spiritual disciplines, when we tend to somehow think we can shortcut the process, that somehow relationships don't take time, that somehow there's a shortcut in all of this. And I think, you know, it's at that time when we believe the Lord's speaking to us in crazy ways. I mean, think about, we've all seen this, right? Where the guy's making a quesadilla, and all of a sudden he's going, man, I see Jesus in my tortilla. You know, Jesus is in my tortilla. Or my wife reminded me of the guy who saw Jesus in his potato chip. You know, he's eating lunch and he's about to eat a chip and he sees the face of Jesus and he saves the potato chip and, hey, everybody, look, there's the picture of Jesus in my potato chip. It's like, no, that's not Jesus in your potato chip. That's absolutely not how God speaks to us. And, you know, I think if we go down that route, we begin to understand that shortcuts exist. And shortcuts don't exist, not when it comes to a relationship with God. And so, you know, understand that Jesus isn't appearing in the tortilla. He's not appearing in the potato chip. If you're seeing Jesus in the tortilla when you're making a quesadilla, here's a little advice. It may be time for a vacation. You know, you may just need a little bit of a rest. And if you're looking at Jesus when you're eating a potato chip, I think the best advice I could give you is just switch to Cheetos. It'll make it a little easier. Well, turn in your Bible to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, take a look at verse 15. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The simple believes every word. Another word for simple would be gullible or naive. But the prudent doesn't fall into that trap. The prudent uses wisdom, and the prudent considers his steps. And he shall direct your paths. The end of Proverbs chapter 3. And he shall direct your paths. When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding, in all of our ways we acknowledge him, he shall direct our paths. And that is a wonderful promise from the Lord. You know, as you're sitting here this morning, ask yourself this question. Are you currently needing guidance? Are you looking for answers on certain issues? Perhaps you have more questions than you do answers. Are you willing to trust God with your whole heart? And I think that, you know, that's of utmost importance, that we can come into church and we can be honest with ourselves, because that's where it starts. It's going to start with that desire to have that self-examination, that desire to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, you know, maybe I'm a little bit hesitant to turn things over to God. Maybe I've been taking that on myself. And if that's the case, ask yourself what's keeping you from God. What's gotten in between you and God? And then this morning you can ask him to take whatever barrier that is that exists between you and him. He'll be more than happy to take it away so there is no longer a barrier between you and him. And I thought, man, can you imagine what our week would look like if we began practicing Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? Can you imagine the amazing things that God could do in our lives when we're trusting him with our whole heart, when we've decided to not lean on our own understanding, and that each and every day we're acknowledging him with all that we're doing? And then we watch him begin to direct our paths. I think we could do amazing things for the Lord. I think it would be a tremendous journey as we begin to live that way. But I also know that, you know, at times as Christians, we begin to struggle with our faith. And usually, as we're struggling with our faith, we tend to do away with the spiritual disciplines of reading our Bible and praying and going to church. And I would tell you, don't be discouraged if that's you. If you're looking at this going, man, I don't even know that I have it within me to trust the Lord with all of my heart right now. I'm not in that position with him. Then I would say this, just start to pray again. Start small. Take small steps back. Begin to pray again. Begin to read your Bible again. Begin to have fellowship with Christians at church again. And even if you're reading your Bible for just a minute or 2 minutes a day, you know, and you keep coming to church, you keep staying in fellowship, you know, before you know it, I guarantee you'll be excited about God again. I guarantee that you'll be excited about the things of God again. And I guarantee you that 1 minute of reading your Bible or 2 minutes will turn into 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, your distance that you felt between you and God, it won't be that distance anymore. You'll be back on track. And if anything, I would tell you this, simply don't give up. Don't give up. God's not giving up on us. He's not going to give up on you. He loves you very much. And he wants you to have that relationship with him. He wants to be in fellowship with you. And when we're in fellowship with him, he provides that guidance and he provides that direction. So if you find yourself today to be far away from trusting him with all of your heart, just remember it's small steps. You can pray to him and you can tell him directly what you're struggling with. He already knows, but he wants to hear from you. And then he'll begin to help you to move in that direction. And if you're here this morning or you're watching, you know, online or listening on the radio and you don't know Jesus and you're saying that this makes sense, but Jesus is a complete stranger to me, I get it. I really do. You can't trust in somebody that you don't know personally. We just don't do that. We're not going to run down the street and stop a car and automatically trust in a complete stranger. I get that. But Jesus is here today if you're in that position. He's here for you. And he loves you very much. You know, the Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we can be saved. And that's why Jesus hung on a cross and died for all of us. And then rose again so that we can experience that resurrection with him, that we can be those new creations in Christ. And so if you are here or you're listening and you just don't have hope because you don't know who Jesus is, he's a stranger, you can ask him into your heart and into your life this morning. It's a simple prayer that says, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me for the things that I've done. For the mistakes that I've made. We've all made mistakes. We all know that. None of us are perfect. But Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm willing to forgive you if you just come to me. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you so much that you provide guidance for us, that you are our shepherd, that we shall not want because of you. Lord, we thank you. But Lord, we come to you this morning in all different conditions. And some of us, Lord, are broken. And some of us, the thought of trusting you right now is the farthest thing from our mind. Sure, we believe in you. Sure, we love you. But Lord, we've moved away from you. Life has gotten the better of us and it's crowded you out. And so this morning, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all that we've done. Forgive us for the things that have gotten in the way of a relationship with you. And that you would renew our faith, renew our hope. That when we walk out of here, Lord, we'll be sky high for you. That you would fill us afresh and anew with the power of your Holy Spirit. And while your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, if you're here this morning and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, just make this prayer your prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I know all about you, but I've never acted on it. But I want to act this morning. Lord, come into my life. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that were wrong. I want you to change me from the inside out. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those that have prayed that prayer, we pray that your hand of protection would be upon them. We pray that this would be an amazing week for them to experience you in a brand new way. Lord, we thank you for today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.